As I sat, I asked myself, why is it Abraham ran out of altars? Because I do not have one of Abraham's altars to speak on. But I would like us to turn to two portions of Scripture. The first is found in Isaiah chapter 42. The book of Isaiah chapter 42. And verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The next is found in the book of Acts, chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17, reading from verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another. It was just a few weeks ago, my youngest son was sharing with me that he had a paper to write, and the professor that he had in the class was gay. And part of the requirements for the class is that you had to attend one of the services in the professor's church. He goes to a gay church. And he said to me, Dad, you know, in growing up, you would always speak to us about the dangers of college life. He said, you told us that when we get to college, we will have to contend with the professors who were teaching concerning evolution. He said, but when we got to college, we didn't have to contend with the theory of evolution. And I paused and I thought about what he had said. And my reply to him was, the devil succeeded. Because in the theory of evolution, it is to put God out of the picture. So here we were as parents talking to our children about this is what you'll have to face when you go to college. But little did we understand that the devil had already made inroads into the college, so by the time our children got there, is no longer having to deal with the issue of whether or not there's a God. The devil had succeeded in putting God outside, and now our children, and for those of you who are wearing all these white rocks on your fingers, your children will have to deal with the fact that their devil will bring in some other issues. So in displacing God from the classroom, you have to now deal with the lifestyle that says there is no God. The ripple effects, as it were, of not embracing the fact that there is a God. And in like manner, it was like in the days of Abraham. We didn't touch on these things this morning, but try to get the picture in your mind what is taking place as God is calling this one man to be for himself. And tonight there might be this one person in the room that God is saying, in the midst of all of this, I want this one person for myself. In the early chapters of Genesis, we have that the wickedness of man was so great in the eyes of the Lord that he had to come in judgment. He brought in the flood. That the heart of man was so wicked even from his youth that God looked down upon this pitiful generation of men, man that he had created in his own image, in his own likeness, that when God was finished with him, God said, "Oh, it is very good. Let us make man." What a thought it was when the Godhead can declare, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness," and only to have this man that God had created in his image and in his likeness turned away from him and do contrary to that which he had commanded. And then to see that man's generation, as they grew and multiplied, only did that which grieved the heart of God. And God said, "It grieved my heart that I had made man." What it is to hear these words from a loving God, God who took the time to create man, that this God is saying that it is grieving my heart that I had made him. Why? Because sin had come in and disrupted that relationship that man had with his holy and righteous God. And it grieved God's heart. But there was a man that found grace in the eyes of God. That man was Noah. And God said to Noah, "Noah, I want you to build an ark because I am going to rain. I'm going to cause it to rain upon this earth." And you know what we say today. We're going to say what the Doppler radar say. Or what did AccuWeather says? If we hear that there's going to be some major storm, we want to hear what the expert has to say. And one can imagine that in the days of Noah, they were mocking and scoffing. Well, Noah's bright blue skies. The cold front is too far from this part of the earth. And the high pressure, they would have all sorts of excuses as to why it will never rain here. But then it rained. Because God said he's going to do it. And it rained upon the earth. And the wickedness of man was judged. Man was judged because he was rebelling against a holy and a righteous God. And God came in judgment. And he saved this righteous man, Noah, and his family. And what an appeal it was. God is always crying and calling to man, "Respond to my voice. Respond to my grace. Why don't you hear the voice of the Lord in tenderest tones saying to you, why don't you come to me and obey my voice?" Can you imagine? And all the thousands that were living on the earth. You know, I was teasing some of the brothers this afternoon. I said, whenever we come up here to preach the gospel, we should preach about Noah. Because we have all these animals here in the room. And the animals responded to the call of Noah. And man says, "No, we're not going in." That is the condition of man's heart. The animals went in, but man refused to go in. And the Bible says, God shut the door. 8 souls, can you imagine? 8 souls were saved, and then God dried up the land. Well, you think the devil is going to stop? You think when you experience the grace of God day by day and his mercy is new to you every morning, you wake up and you says, oh, what a lovely day this is. The sun is shining brightly. It is the grace of God that is touching you, my friend. When you experience the nice shower that comes to water the earth, it is God that's blessing you. These souls, the 8 souls that came out, they began to multiply. But Satan wouldn't stop. Satan would do anything to take your soul to hell. He would do anything. So there was wickedness before the flood, but Satan says, man, what I want to do is get God out of their thinking. And that is what the world wants to do. Just get God out of your thinking. So what did Satan introduce? Idolatry. Give the glory that is due to God to something else. Someone else. And Satan introduced idolatry into the history of man. And God looked down in the midst of all of this when they began to build the Tower of Babel. And God says, look, you know what? This United Nations kind of thinking, we got to put it to an end. God came in. And he confounded the language of man. And God says, I got to scatter them. And in the midst of all this judgment, as it were, God is saying, there is one man that I have my eyes on. And in this world that is heading for judgment, there are those that have felt the grace of God, who have accepted his son as their savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there is you. And God is saying, yes, there are those that I have saved and he secured for eternity. But what about you? What about you tonight? And God called Abraham. He says, Abraham, I want you to get out. Yes, it's going to be painful, Abraham. But Abraham, if you really want to see the kind of God that I am, Abraham, you have to get out. Abraham, if you really want to see my great plan of salvation for this earth, Abraham, you have to get out. Abraham, my thoughts towards man is so great. Abraham, you really cannot enjoy it and then try to enter into what I am trying to do. Abraham, you got to get out. Why? Because the world was heading for judgment, and God is saying to you tonight, my friends, get out, because this world is heading for judgment. Because the world is headed for judgment, God is calling you out. He's calling you out. And so the prophet Isaiah can declare concerning this great God whose voice Abraham heard. He says, I am the Lord, and that is my name. There is no other God like me. I am the God of glory that appeared unto Abraham. There's none like me. Just look at the idols of this world. The Bible would declare, oh, they're so beautiful in so many ways. But these idols that man has graven, they have ears and they cannot hear. They have eyes and they cannot see. They have nose and they cannot smell. They have mouth and they cannot speak. Much less the God that we know as our God and Savior, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is touched. He is a God that can hear the cries of his people. He is a God of compassion, a God of mercy, a God of love. And this God is saying to you tonight, my friend, I will not share my glory with any image, any graven image in this world. And Satan wants to take God out of the picture, and the glory that is due to him, he wants to give it to those graven images. And God says, no, I will not share my glory with any graven image. I refuse to do that. Because I am God. And my friends, you and I have to come to grips with the fact that we are accountable to God. We have to answer to Him. No one else. We have to answer to Him. So time rolled on. The prophet made his declaration. Isaiah the prophet made his declaration. But despite all that had transpired, the devil is still seeking to blind the minds of men so that they will not behold the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friends, the enemy of your soul is relentless. He will not give up. You just think about it. All the time that God is tugging at your heart, as we so often sing in one of the hymns, why not tonight? Why don't you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? And the devil is saying to you, oh, not tonight. Just remember the things that you have to do, the pleasures of this world. Just think of the big Macy's sale that's coming up for the 4th of July. Just think about the 70% discount, all these things. And just think about the fact that Miami is going to be playing the Spurs in the final. You don't want to miss all of these stuff. The enemy is coming in to keep our hearts so occupied that we do not want to think about God. That's what he's doing. But God says, I will still send my son. What a God we have. What a God we serve. That here it is, he's declaring that I will not give my glory to another, but here comes this babe that was born in Bethlehem's manger. A unique way God intervened into the affairs of man, in the person of his son. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was born in that manger. God said, I want to let man see the kind of God that I am. And the scripture says, man beheld his glory. There was something unique about this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked here upon this earth. In the midst of all the confusion that the enemy had brought to man's soul, he had caused them to turn their hearts away from the true and the living God. But here is a man that came and says, I delight to do his will. And even if it meant laying down his life in death, that man, Christ Jesus, was willing to lay down his life for any sinful man. That's you, my friends. When I came to that realization that the Lord Jesus Christ died for this sinful man, myself, I says, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you because you, when you came, you said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when I heard those words of salvation, I said to Joe Wilson, why is it you're so dumb? You are lost and cannot find your way. But there's one who came to seek and to save your precious soul. And I bowed to him and I said, Lord Jesus, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take it all. Because I am surrendering to you. And tonight, my friends, you might be the one that these words are going out to. He came to seek and to save your precious soul. But then the apostle went to, we would say today, New York City, Times Square. All the bright lights, all the entertainment that you can think of. Paul walked in to this great city And he says, looking around, something captivated his attention. It caught his attention. He says, I saw an altar. I saw an altar to the unknown God. And Paul says, I can't really talk to them about all their gods, but this is an opportunity for me to talk to them about this unknown God who they are ignorantly worshiping. You know, one of the things that I often find fascinating in this great America, let someone great die, or something catastrophic happens, and they will bring all the, what they call the major religions of the world. Let's have a united time of prayer and so forth. And then they go, let's have a moment of silence. Let's pray to the unknown God, because we don't want to mess with anybody's religion and anybody's God. So let's have a moment of silence. My friend, when I talk to the God that saved me, I don't want to be silent about it. I want to tell the world that Jesus saved. I want to tell the world that in the midst of the catastrophe, there is one that can bring comfort and joy in the midst of it all. I want to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I keep silent in a time when hearts are broken? No, I want to tell them about the Lord Jesus. And here it is, Paul is saying, I want to tell you about the unknown God who you are ignorantly worshiping. He says, this God is the one that created you. This God is the one that holds you, as it were, in his hands. This is the one that provides for you. This is the God that keeps your heart ticking at a certain rate every day. This is the God that makes the blood flow through your vein. This is the God that you think you know, but you don't know. This is the God that keeps the sun so far from the earth so that you wouldn't freeze and you wouldn't fry. This is the God I want to talk to you about. Friends, tonight, do you realize that you are responsible to a God who created you? That is what the enemy of our souls wants to do. The enemy of your soul, if he can get you to the point where you can say there is no God, he says, phase one has been accomplished. And the Bible declared, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what the fool has said. But the apostle says, look, I want to bring it down to the way you can understand it. That this God is the one that created you, and we are responsible to this God. And he also goes on to say, you know, this God has appointed a day in which he will judge this habitable world in righteousness by a man. By the man Christ Jesus, his beloved son, whom he sent into this world to suffer, bleed, and die for sinful men who had sinned and come short of his glory. God is saying, look, I will do a work through that man. The devil says, just keep their minds blinded. Because God has said, he will not share his glory with any other. But I want to go beyond that. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have sung tonight, marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds my sin and my guilt. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to demonstrate to you tonight, my friend. The grace of God that can reach down to a sinful man. A man that had raised his fist against that holy and righteous God that had created him. That man that says, look, I would live the way I want to live and I really don't care what God has to say. This is the grace of God that God wants to show to this man. Wants to show it to you. The man that he wants to show his grace to is the man that had sinned and come short of God's glory. He had missed the mark. And my friends, you can ask yourself, when have I missed the mark? All you need to do was tell one simple lie. In this very book, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind. And you ask yourself the question, have I loved this God the way he had asked me to? He answers, no, my friends. You haven't. So you've missed the mark. God says, look, I want to show my grace to those who have missed the mark. Because there's coming a day in which he's going to judge this world in righteousness. You see, it is this world whose mind the devil, God of this world, has blinded. They declared, we don't want Jesus. What a choice that man had to make when Pilate asked the question, who do you want me to deliver? What a question. And tonight, my friends, God is asking the question, who do you want? Do you want to live for this world and its God and for the pleasures of this world? Or do you want to hear my voice in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Come unto me. The world says, We will take Barabbas. You can crucify Jesus. But my friends, tonight, God wants to make you feel of his grace, because in the same way he called Abraham, and Abraham, as God began to speak to him and reveal his heart unto him, Abraham realized, as Brother Mark mentioned, there was a bigger picture. There is a bigger picture, my friends, than what you think that God is trying to do. We're not trying to say, look, you know, you get saved and all you do, you just sit in a corner and you know, you expect good things to happen. No, Abraham didn't do that. The Bible says Abraham was looking for a city. And the big picture in regards to you and to me tonight, my friends, though we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can now rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, it is said of those at Thessalonica, it says, they turn to God from idols to serve the true and the living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. And tonight, my friends, what is the idol that is keeping you back from serving the true and the living God, to come to a saving knowledge of his blessed Son? Which is the idol that's keeping you back? Pleasure? Money? Power? You ask yourself, why haven't you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? And God says, look, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased, and I have sent him into this world to be your Savior. And so those at Thessalonica, they turned to God from idols to serve the true and the living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. And I say to you tonight, my friends, the Lord Jesus was not only born into this world, he grew up to be a man, but man crucified him. They put him in that borrowed tomb. Anything to get God out of the picture. But on the third day, as one of the contemporary writers says, you can't keep a good man down. On the third day, he rose from amongst the dead. He arose and he was raised by the glory of the Father. And God has received this man back up into glory. And he prayed before he left, Father, those you have given to me, my desire is that they be with me where I am, so that they might behold my glory. Beloved saints and friends, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the picture just doesn't stop by, he wants to save you. Yes, as important as that is, but he wants to take you to heaven so that you can behold his glory in the person of his blessed Son. The picture is so great. And the city that Abraham was looking for, we read about it in the book of Revelation. It's a holy city. It's a great city. The picture is bigger than what we think, beloved. And God wants you to be a part of what he's doing. A part of that plan that he had before the foundation of this world. But it's all wrapped up in his Son. And you can write the script tonight. God's way. You can be a part of a happy ending by simply surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be the Savior of this world. To recognize that he went to the cross of Calvary and he died in your place and he died in my place and he bore my sins in his body. And God poured out his wrath against sin in that blessed person, that which you and I deserved. God poured it upon his blessed Son. And God says, if you reject him now, you will face him as a judge in a day to come. God will not share his glory with no other, but with the Lord Jesus Christ he has. He is God over all, blessed forever. There's a man in the glory, in the midst of the glory of God. Man hasn't been there before. And he says to you and to me, if you accept me as my Savior, I want you to be where I am so that you can behold my glory. Goes beyond what we're thinking about here on this earth. The plan is great, my friends. And God has gone to the extent where he could have sent his beloved Son to die so that he can address the issue of sins, your sins and my sins. And God says, I have addressed that issue. Now the rest is up to you. And God needs a response from you tonight. He is saying, come. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me. God can say to Abraham, come out. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I want you to come to me. I am the Savior of this world. I am the only one that can save your precious soul. Come to me. And the Bible says, those who come to him, he will in no wise cast out. He will save your precious soul. He will not turn you back. There's not a sinner who have cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save them that he has turned away. Not one. And if he wanted to turn away sinners, I might have been the first. But his arms are stretched out still. And he's saying, come to me. So tonight, my friends, as we are going through this camp, speaking about Abraham's four altars, is your altar tonight to the unknown God? Have you set up your altar to the unknown God? God has made himself known in the person of his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world to reveal who God is. And that God says, I will not share my glory with any other, because I am God. That is my name. And in a day to come, if you spurn his grace, if you refuse his grace, you will have to answer to the one who came in grace. Reveal the true and living God, the one whom God has exalted. You will have to bow your knee to him and confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can bow tonight. You can bow tonight. No better time than now. No better day than today. You can bow and own the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. And says, look, my altar is to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have heard his voice calling me, and I want to say yes to him tonight. That is our appeal. Will you be like Abraham? The scripture says, after a while, he obeyed. Will you obey the voice of the Lord tonight, saying, come to me? Or will you say, not tonight, not tonight? See, my friends, can you guarantee yourself that you will do it tomorrow? Can you guarantee yourself, if you do not do it tonight, you'll do it a week from now? Can you guarantee yourself that? No, my friends, you can't. God says, now is the accepted time. Tonight is the night of salvation. Just surrender and say, yes, I will obey the voice of the Lord. Because he's calling you. And he's calling you to himself. May God bless his word, for his name's sake. Amen.